Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
We continue our study in 2 Peter, having come to chapter 3 and verse 16, and there's only 18 verses in chapter 3, and chapter 3 is the end of the book, so we're getting very close to our conclusion of the study of 2 Peter. But we are camping down in verse 16 because Peter deals with a very important subject, and he deals with some aspects of this subject that you really don't find anyplace else in the Bible that I'm aware of. Now, what we're talking about is what Peter believed about the book we call the Bible. We are learning what he believed about the inspiration of Scripture, and he believed that there is a body of inspired writings produced by divinely chosen men and superintended by, infallibly, by the Holy Spirit of God. And furthermore, he believed that Paul's epistles are part of that divinely inspired portion of Scripture, that divinely inspired book that we call the Bible. We know that that's what he believed about the inspiration of Scripture. But beyond that, we also learn something about what he believed about the canon of Scripture. And here's where we begin to get into some areas that we really don't find in other parts of the Bible that I'm aware of. But by thinking deeply about what Peter says in regard to Paul's epistles being Scripture, we learn something about Peter's concept of the canon of Scripture, that is, which books are considered Scripture, which books are to be included in the Bible. We have this canon of 66 books in our Bible. Why do we have 66 and not 77 or 52 or whatever? Why are these particular books in the Bible? And Peter is convinced that Paul's writings are Scripture. And that's part of what he has to say here. But then he also gets into the area of interpretation. And this is something that we don't find elsewhere in Scripture completely. I mean, this is totally beyond anything that I know of in other parts of the Bible, touching upon this matter of interpreting Scripture. And that's where we're going on this Thursday, July 16. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for supporting us financially, because that's the only way that we can continue teaching God's Word on the station. Now, the text is 2 Peter 3:16. I begin with verse 15. And consider that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of things in which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the Scriptures. Oh boy, so much there. But the interpretation of Scripture, and as we saw in the broadcast yesterday, Peter recognizes the difficulty of correctly interpreting Paul's writings. In Paul's writings, there are some things which are difficult to understand. Not everything, but some things. And by implication, therefore, we find difficulty interpreting other parts of the book we call the Bible. We believe in the perspicuity of Scripture. That's a big term, isn't it? But it means that God's Word is capable of being understood by God's people. The perspicuity of Scripture, it doesn't take experts to be able to properly interpret for us the Bible. Some groups teach that, that there's no way, no way that the average person could possibly understand what the Bible means. You might as well not even try. Just accept the official interpretation that we hand down to you. Well, that's not what the Scripture teaches. And I and many people, and I hope you are one of them, believe in the perspicuity of Scripture, that it's capable of being understood by Christians, anyone who is a true born-again believer and has the Holy Spirit indwelling him, who inspired the writers of Scripture. We've got the same Spirit within us, so yes, it is possible to understand what the Bible says, but that doesn't mean that it will come automatically nor easily. And that's the point. It is capable of being understood, but it is not easily nor automatically understood, at least not all parts of it. And that's what Peter makes very clear here. As also in his epistles, Paul's epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand. Some things hard to understand, even for an apostle like Peter. Found some things in the writings of the apostle Paul, another apostle, which were hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction. So Peter is telling us that Scripture is not always immediately understood. It is capable of being understood, but it is not always automatically and immediately understood just because we open the book and read a statement. And there's some people that act that like they can always understand exactly what the Bible means. They don't have any difficulty understanding it. They know what it means. Too bad that other people don't, but they do. They understand it perfectly from the get-go. I would be very suspicious of people like that because Peter wasn't among them. Peter didn't say that of himself, an inspired writer of Scripture. He himself wrote Scripture. He, who was an apostle and inspired by the Holy Spirit of God as one of those men chosen to write Scripture, nevertheless did not believe that he could easily and readily understand every portion of Scripture. He had to wrestle with it. He had to dig. He had to work hard in order to understand some portions of God's Word. That's a very instructive lesson for all of us. And so by saying that, what Peter is doing is implying certain elements for proper interpretation. Yes, the Bible is capable of being interpreted by those who handle it properly and who work at it in the proper way, but there are some elements that need to be employed or you will not understand Scripture. What are they? One of them I already mentioned in the broadcast yesterday, and that is the necessity of hard work. If you're going to properly interpret Scripture, you're going to have to commit yourself to hard work. As Paul said to Timothy, be diligent to show yourself approved unto God, a workman who needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I use the New King James rendering, be diligent, rather than the Old King James rendering, study, because the word study is a bit misleading there. That verse teaches study, but it's not in the word study at the beginning of the verse. When he says study to show yourself approved under God, he means be diligent, be committed to being approved by God in this way, that you are a workman who is working hard at cutting God's word straight, understanding it properly. It does require hard work. You've got to be a workman in order to do this properly. A second principle would be to compare Scripture with Scripture, as Peter does here. He sets the example, and that's exactly what he's doing. He's comparing what he wrote with what Paul wrote. Did you catch that? As also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things that I'm writing to you, I compare them to the things that Paul has written to you. A comparison of Scripture to Scripture. And that's necessary if we're going to properly interpret the Word of God. I remember a particular text, oh, it weighs heavily on my mind at times when I think about it, that I applied a certain interpretation 2 years ago, and I had somebody question me about that. Where do you get that? I've never heard that before. Oh, it's right here in the text. But the more I looked at that, and the more I realized, this seems to be different from what is taught elsewhere in Scripture. I'd better be more cautious. I'd better be more careful. I may not have the right understanding of this verse. And I came to the conclusion that I didn't. Yes, just on the surface, that seems to be what it says, but really, that is introducing a doctrine that doesn't seem to be taught anywhere else in the Word of God, and that made me certain that I was misunderstanding the meaning of that verse. I was interpreting it improperly. I was interpreting it erroneously. And I came to that conclusion by comparing Scripture with Scripture. If all I'd had was that one text, I could strongly argue for that particular interpretation, because that's what the text seemed to say to me. And I think that was what it would seem to say to other people. I know it is. I've talked to other people who get the same impression from that particular text. But by comparing Scripture with Scripture, I came to realize there is another way to understand this text. And the other way corresponds to other Scripture. This first way that I came up with doesn't correspond to anything else in Scripture. And so by comparing Scripture with Scripture, we learn to properly interpret the Bible. What else do we do? And I'm just talking about some steps now. We don't find these in the text in 2 Peter here, but you've got to study the vocabulary. You've got to make sure that you understand the correct meaning of the words. You don't want to be guilty of twisting the words, which is what the false teachers do. Sometimes that requires a consultation with the original languages, recognizing that the Bible wasn't originally written in English. The New Testament in Greek, the Old Testament in Hebrew, some very small portions in Aramaic, but most of it in Hebrew. And so you've got to be willing to dig that out. You say, well, I didn't study Greek. I can't do that. Yes, you can. Thankfully, in our day, there is such an abundance of Bible study material that's available to everybody, and some of it is written for people who haven't studied the original languages, but it still enables them to find the meaning of the Hebrew and Greek words, even though they've never actually studied those languages. Those helps are available. But, of course, it requires some work. It requires some study. It requires some diligence. It requires some willingness to get into those materials and to learn about the meaning of particular words, to make sure that you are understanding that word correctly. In the English, as in every language, most words have more than one possible meaning. How do you know that you've got the right meaning for this word? Well, one way is to go back and find out what is the underlying original word in the original language. Now, that's not going to settle it completely, but that's going to help. Every step that you add, every layer that you add to this process will help you arrive at a proper interpretation. So you study the vocabulary, and you study the grammar, the parts of speech, and you study the context, as we've talked about previously. All of these things are part of the process of understanding the proper meaning of a particular text of Scripture. And we'll have to take it up, Lord willing, tomorrow. Join me then. Until then, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.